COVID-19 has you down, or you need some more cleanliness in your life, please check out our proud sponsor, Psycho Soaps, at their Etsy site, www.etsy.com/shop/psychosoaps. I repeat, www.etsy.com/shop/psychosoaps. Horror-themed soaps, anything you need over there, from crazy to cute, anything you absolutely need.
This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset.
To avoid fainting, keep repeating.
It's a movie.
Grindhouse Diner from Hell.
Alright, welcome back everybody. I'm Reggae Mortis.
And I'm Boris Lagosa.
And this is With the Dead and Night Podcast. Guys, it is that time. It's the third Friday of the month. So it's time to go way, way back to a time where movies are seriously messed up. This is the Grindhouse Diner from Hell. And for this episode, we are covering the movie Color Me Blood Red. Great. Nice. Get the facts, Boris.
Color Me Blood Red, the 1965 grindhouse horror film. Box office numbers, first of all. Budget was $50,000 estimated. Don't really have the numbers in on that. But this movie stars Gordon Oesheim as Adam Sorge, Candy Condor as April Carter, who's hot. Yeah. Ellen Warner as Gigi. And this movie was written and directed by Herschel Gordon Lewis. Okay, first of all, Rig, let's go through the main story of this movie. Psychotic painter.
Yeah.
Unstable man. This movie is the third part of what the director's fans have dubbed the Blood Trilogy, including Blood Feast and 2000 Maniacs.
Really?
Yeah, 2000 Maniacs actually, They redid that movie.
Yeah, with Robert Englund.
And yeah, and this the 2000 Maniacs of this one was in 1964.
Oh shit! I knew that. Well, I know it was a remake, but I wasn't sure what year it came out.
Right.
Yeah. So there's like this movie, like this movie is like probably pretty early with the whole starting. The movie starts off at the end of the movie.
Right.
You know? Because you don't pick up on it originally, or you know, but you pick up.
I didn't pick on that till the very end of the credits rolled.
So, but this movie starts off like this movie has awesome music all the way through. Like, I definitely had a really cool soundtrack to it. It's got a soundtrack I would listen to like just chilling. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's definitely cool and just how it all goes together. But yeah, you have this guy. What the hell was his name?
His name was Adam.
Yeah, Adam. Adam what though?
Adam Sorg.
That's what it was. So. He's got this little girlfriend, like our fiance or whatever. They're going to be getting married or whatever. So he's in this whole thing. He's like a starving artist. He's not getting appreciated for his work, and he can see that's weighing down on him.
That man Grigorovich.
Yeah, yeah.
Gave him a bad review. He was an art critic. He criticized his use of color.
Yeah, and like they have this like weird like it. I've been to art galleries before, but I didn't realize they're like constantly like. Picking up the paintings and then putting them back down, and they're just like constant. It's like almost like a rotating thing. It's like everyone walks around. But anyway, so he's like kind of getting shit on. So he's pretty pissed off. And him and his girlfriend had like this love hate relationship where it's like pretty rocky, you know.
It's pretty immature too.
Yeah. Like a lot of times, like you know, first you know, if we ever get married, the first thing we're gonna do is get a divorce. That's like one of her lines. And she's like constant. Like if we get married, she's always like kind of like bashing him, but like backing him at the same time. But, so, you know, the movie begins at this art gallery, and this, like, this really cool music's playing, and then you see, like, this guy, he's, like, slowly bringing out paintings. He walks all the way around the corner, all the way out to the front of the building, and there's a little fire going, or there's a little pile of paintings. He throws it on there, and lights it on fire. And when he lights it on fire, you see, like, this paint, red paint, you know, quote-unquote red paint, which we find out later was actually blood. Trickle down, and then the movie begins. And it's really funny because, like, I've always wanted to think that was the sound of a beer cracking, which is a great sound. Anyway, so I always wanted to see this movie. When I was, like, I talked about this in a previous previous show. When I was in high school, FYE was at the CD store, DVD store. So I would always buy, get these collections. It was, like, always, like, 60s and 70s, like, horror films. And they'd be, like, $5 for, like, 10 films. Like, it was, like, a box set. And this was Something Strange or Something Weird.
What
was
Something Weird Video.
Yeah, there's videos. So I have one. I would watch it all the time because, like, always previews.
Country Cousins.
Yeah, exactly. It was shit like that. So I would watch it, and I would always see this one, and I never thought I'd take it serious or want to watch it. I wanted to watch it, but, like, it was, the whole preview was just, like, color, me, blood, red.
Subliminal.
Color, me, blood, red. When you see color, me, blood, red, I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is there anything going on in this movie? But when Boris brought it up to me, I was like, shit, like, I might as well see it now. And I've always remember seeing the previews for this movie. So, it starts off, this art gallery guy is burning his paintings. So it's like almost like, you know, it's the beginning of the end. Or the ending at the beginning. So, and kind of fast forward, you see this guy, starving artist, him and his girlfriend, they live on this little beach thing. You tell he had some success at one time. Or just recently had success and bought this place. And now he's, like, kind of becoming, like, he's, like, I feel like he's, like, almost, like, running out of money. Running out of funds.
Right.
Because he has, like, he has this beach house, he has this pretty girlfriend, they have, like, these little, like, you don't ever see those things anymore. There's the bicycles that you can ride out in the water. And now he has, like, this whole scene, they're, like, paddling out and everything, and he comes back. And then, long story short, he gets pissed off at her. They start to argue. And then he ends up, stabbing her in the fucking head. And then when she bleeds out, and he uses the blood to add to his painting. Right. So he, like, you know, wait a second, I fucked up. He cuts his finger, doesn't he?
She cuts her finger picking up the... He threw a canvas on the floor. She picked up the trash and she cut her finger. And he saw that color. He's like, oh shit, this is the color I need. This is the exact color I need.
Yeah, yeah.
And this whole fucked up scene ensues where he uses her finger to paint. And he tries to cut her finger again. She goes, no, you use your own blood. So what's he do? He cuts all of his fingers and he's sitting there wiping. And then this scene was very... Like, for its time, this scene was kind of... edgy.
Yeah, you know, no, for sure.
And I kind of enjoyed this scene as I was sitting here in this exact room watching this downstairs. Tubby TV, guys, if you guys haven't gotten it, you can find all kinds of gems on that.
Oh,
on,
yeah, for sure.
Anyway, I'm sitting down here in my man cave, I'm watching this movie, and I'm seeing this part, I'm like, holy shit, this is 1965. Mainstream wouldn't show this quite,
like, oh no.
Kind of bloody scene. Wasn't like over the top gore.
Yeah.
But he passes out from his blood loss. And after this, you realize that this man has become completely unhinged. And you want to continue then after that scene?
Yeah, sure. So after that whole, he wakes up from all his blood loss, whatever. She comes in, and he's like, I need more blood. And she's like, there's no way. You know, after he uses his own blood and everything, you can tell he's kind of like delirious because he's like lost all, like, he used a bunch of blood. He's kind of fatigued and everything. And she says something to him, and it's like the last, the final draw. I think it's just like, you know, he looks for, because everyone's telling him he is always paying or missing something. Like, he's there, but he's not there all the way. You know, so like.
Which would be extremely frustrating.
Yeah, so he's like constantly these shortcomings. Like, you know, like, you're so close to success that he's had already, and he's trying to bring it back. And then. Of course, he has his girlfriend who's constantly nagging him. He's got this blood loss. He's got this fatigue. He's just exhausted. And he's like, listen, this is exactly what I need. This is what everything is missing in my life. I need this. I need more blood. The color blood is what I need for this painting. And she says something to him, and that just sets him over the edge. And he takes a... What's he stab her with?
I think it was a piece of glass.
That's what it was, yeah, because, you know, before they have this whole, before they find out about the blood, they have a whole thing where they destroys the room, and then they end up going back and, like, you know, they hook up.
Right.
And it comes back to clean the mess up. Yeah, so he grabs the glass and he stabs her right in the temple. Freaking, what'd you call it style? Walking Dead style.
Oh, yeah. Rick Grimes.
Yeah, Rick Grimes style at the temple. Anyway, so, of course, he kills her and he uses her blood. So he just, you know, disposes her body or whatever. I think ends up burying her in a yard. So then the next day, he's crazy. He shows up. He's like looking like he's nuts. Shows up at the art gallery. And this lady who's a buyer, she shows up and she's like, I have to have it. I have to have his painting. His painting is like, I've never seen it. Everyone's like, this is absolute genius work. And it's like, his whole painting is like, it looks like some type of like monster or like demonic being behind it. There's a picture. It looks like his girlfriend with a knife or a blade going through her head. And like, and the whole thing just covered in blood. It's actually a really cool painting.
Right.
So they do this thing where he's just like, she's like, I have to have it. What is the price? And then one guy, the dealer was like, $15,000, which is like completely absurd, you know, for 1965. And he's like, that's a ridiculous
number. This after he stabs Gigi in the face?
Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He takes the painting.
Right.
After
right.
the blood and everything. Yeah. Where you at over there? Pay attention, motherfucker. So he has this whole, you know, so they're quoting it at $15,000.
Right, right.
Which is a ridiculous number, you know, for 1965.
And this woman has a complete smile on her face like she fucking don't care. It's like pocket change.
Yeah, and exactly what she does. She's like, you know what? She's like, screw it. I have to have it. Let me get it. And you guys are saying, like, it's not for sale. You know, or he's attached to it. Like, it's like almost like it's the first time in his life that he has done something perfectly. Like, he's gotten what he wants. Now he's not trying to sell it.
One thing I would like to say before we move on from that is, I just wanted to throw in some humor here. Whatever kind of bicycle boats they had,
yeah,
I want one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about this a few minutes ago, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on now. Moving on.
Why don't you pay attention?
All right.
Anyway. So they said to him, like, listen, if you're not going to sell it, if it's not for sale, you're so emotionally attached to it. And we understand some artists, that happens to artists, and there's always some type of painting or someone, artists always have some type of work that's never been released before. Art, you know, music people, everyone always has something they hold on to. They can't release. It's too personal. He's like, can you paint something similar to this or, you know, or just like this? And he said, I'll do it. So he goes back to his, you know, he goes back to his thing, and he's trying to use his own blood, but he needs more blood.
Right.
Right? So, there just happens to be this couple. He's at the very end of, like, almost like a point on the
beach.
That's
her friends that are showing up in the, that are riding around on the paddle bikes, when he sees them.
Yeah. So, some people, they show up on the beach where he lives at. No, this is before that, right?
Yes.
His daughter, the daughter's later on.
Right.
That woman.
Yeah, this happens first.
Yeah. So, you have this couple. They show up on the beach, and the main character, he lives on the very corner, like, almost like a point on the beach. It's like a private, almost like a private area, private beach. And so they show up there, and they decide, like, I don't know who the hell, I mean, maybe if you're that privileged, you just don't think that way. You know, but they're like, hey, this is someone's bikes, we'll just borrow them. We'll bring them back. If they come back, we'll tell them sorry. So they take his bikes out for a ride. I'm not sure where he's at the time, but he was out on his boat, you know? So while they're paddling out, you see his ass come full charge, right? And they come plowing through. The girl's trying to get away. He hits the guy, immediately just murks the guy. She tries to run away, and you don't really see her get hit, but you assume that a few minutes later, when you see all the blood in the water, that they're both dead.
Right.
And then what's he doing? He's painting some kind of like barracuda painting. It looks like shit, because the first painting's so cool. I don't know what the hell he was thinking with the second one. It's this barracuda, and he just like covered it in this blood from the two victims. Buries their corpses in the thing. But you never even see that, right? Does he even sell that? Because he never goes back. I think it's like the next day, so, you know. This movie kind of jumps around a little bit. This movie's cool. It's really a very original story. We have this crazed painter where he's like, you know, at wit's end or whatever. Very, very original. It is pretty graphic for 1965. He's talking like, this is the time where like Elvis Presley couldn't shake his hips on TV.
But this is also after the time the movie Psycho was released to the world.
Yeah.
A very confusing time at the same time.
Which, this is probably a well-known fact. But didn't they? I heard that they used like chocolate milk. No, maybe that was in That was Evil Dead.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, they used like chocolate milk because it had like that same. It was like the color.
And black and white.
It was black and white and it looked red, you know, or it looked like blood.
Now, we get to the part here where after he kills the man and abducts the woman, he paints a new canvas with the woman's blood.
Yeah.
The following day, he goes to the gallery, but again refuses to sell it. Like it's his work.
Yep.
And then Mrs. Carter starts getting worried that she hasn't heard from him. And Adam goes to talk to April. He tells April he's looking for a model, this chick named April. Brings her in, tries to fucking take her out with an axe, ties her up.
Well, this is before that, though. So that's the woman who's trying to buy the paintings, she's having a conversation with her daughter.
Right.
And she's like, you know, oh, like, you know, this artist, he lives out there. It's like, well, maybe I'll have him paint me. You know, she's always like, almost like, kind of like, she's just trying to get a little bit of attention for her mom.
Right.
So, like, well, being my friends, you know, like, you know, it's like so far away, well, I'll just go all the way out there. That's what's his face? This painter lives. He's like, well, the beach is private there. No one bothers us. We want to go where no one's at. So, her and her girlfriend and two boyfriends, whoever, they go out there. So, they're enjoying some time, and then she has to go find some place to change. I don't know why you wouldn't, you know, like, everyone else is like, oh, just change out in the water or whatever. But like, so she's like, oh, I'm going to go all the way down here to this house and change beside it. And I don't know, like, just typical, like, why the hell would you think that way? So, while she goes over there, he comes out. Adam comes out and he talks to her. You know, like, oh, he has this real creepy vibe, like, oh, I don't want to paint you. Why don't you come in here? Like, don't tell anybody. You know, we'll just do this painting, whatever. So, she's like, oh, she gets kind of creeped out. And, like, you know, she's interested. You can tell that she's, like, kind of feeling him. Like, oh, this guy's, like, kind of dangerous. He's kind of weird. Like, but I'm kind of, you know, I like attention, obviously. So I'm going to try to get, you know, myself painted. But you know what? I'll play hard to get. She goes back. She talks to the boyfriend. Well, he's got his whole little thing. Like, well, I'm not going to, you know, you ain't going to do that. You know, it says his whole little thing. And then she ends up going back anyway. So, of course, yep, here we go. He takes her hostage. Ties her up. He's got this axe. And then they all show up, right? And then he kind of, you know, the boyfriend shows up. There's a rifle above the, was it by the fireplace?
Yes, I
believe so. He's getting ready to hack her ass up with the axe. The boyfriend shows up. He's got a gun. And then there's this little small fight, cheesy fight. And then he straight blasts his ass in the face with a shotgun. Which is crazy to me because he shoots him within like a few feet. Which, like, you know, you're talking, you get enough spread, depending on what kind of shot you got in there. But his ass, his head would have, if his head didn't get blown off his shoulders, his head would have flew backwards. But he kind of just, like, takes it, and does, he's, like, kind of stints it for a minute, and, like, grabs his face while, like, the blood's, like, pouring out. He's like, he's like, stiff the heck. I'm like, the whole top of his head would have got blown off. But anyway, so he, like, stumbles.
For either that, or he would have had a hell of a toupee.
Yeah, yeah. And he just, all of a sudden, he just drops. And that's pretty much the end of the movie. It just ends like that. You know, it was kind of like, you know, melodramatic ending.
The ending was kind of a letdown. But other than that, my personal thoughts was I enjoyed watching this film.
Yeah.
And for 1965, you know, this movie was like almost timeless. Sounds really cliche, but it was almost a timeless classic because it was, you know, so edgy for its time.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I would watch a remake of that. If something like that came back and it was almost like a little darker, because I feel like, you know, this movie it was more realistic because, you know, of course if you don't watch a movie, I wanted it to go darker. I wanted to have like more substance to it. You know what I mean? And so, but it's more realistic to hear this guy. Like he, you know, he has his first kill, and his intentions were never to kill, but then once he did. It's almost like that, like the serial killer said. Like, he doesn't have this, like, cool-off period. It's just immediately, like, I have to. It's like he's addicted, and he's just going, like, his rampage.
Right.
You know, just, that's why he's either going to continue to kill until he gets killed or he gets caught. There's never going to be any time, like, taking off. He's going to continue to do this because he's way past the point of return. You know what I mean? So it's pretty realistic in that aspect. But yeah, this movie, man, I enjoyed this movie. It was cool. You know, the ending kind of sucks, but the music in it is like they had the original music and the original soundtrack was really cool, and just the idea behind like here's this guy, crazed painter, that he, you know, the one thing he needs in his life is missing from his life is this one main painting. And then, you know, of course he has, like, you know, his whole, like, psychopath type of thing where he's, like, so attached to it, you know, where he can't get rid of it. Even when they're offering him, like, a ridiculous amount of money in 1965.
Right.
So it's definitely well written and well thought out.
Eli Roth, if you're hearing this, please do a remake of Color Me Blood Red.
Yeah.
Been waiting for you to come back, man. I know some people shit on your work, but I actually enjoyed, like, when I was a teenager and I saw Cabin Fever, I actually enjoyed it years later. I didn't like it as much as a teenager, but now I watched it again, I actually enjoyed that film.
Yeah, once your mind matures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't have liked this movie when I was a kid. I probably been like...
1965, I ain't turning this on.
Now, I would have watched it, but I would have been like, where are tits at? Like, it's like some little pervert, little 15-year-old kid. But, yeah, like, I'm really glad we got a chance to watch it.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed The View.
Yeah, it's really cool. This whole series is really cool because you have, like, it's so crazy because you have, like, the 60s where they're slowly taking a step into, like, boundaries. Where can we go with this? And then you get the 70s, where it's just, like, balls to the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, it's you know, like, it's so crazy to see, like, you know, because in the 60s, you're talking, you get color for the first time. You know, you have, like, your first zombie movies. You have your first, like, you have always, like, psycho killer movies. And, you know, where you're really crossing it. You have a whole, it's almost like, you have horror. But, like, in the 60s, I feel like it was really being, you know, you have, like, I mean, you're talking, you got the 30s, you got your major Hollywood monsters. You're talking, like, you got the monster, Frankenstein's monsters.
You got, yeah.
You got your Dracula, you got your Wolfman. You know, so you have, like, this, at this time, you have, like, these characters that have been developed, but no one's really going too deep into this whole psychotic murder, you know, rampage. No one's doing that yet. In the 60s, you know, you're talking 30 years later, or no.
Yeah, you're right.
The 30s or 40s, Frankenstein, all them.
They were, I believe, Frankenstein was 32, and the Wolfman was 43 with Lon Chaney.
Yeah. And then, of course, his son took over too, which is really, how cool is that?
Right,
that is cool. You know, you got two major characters playing by a father-son duo. It's pretty fucking cool. No, but, yeah, so, you know, the 60s, they kind of came out. They kind of came out with, like, you know, all right, listen, you know, we're getting past... We're going to have some monsters, but we're also going to go into this. Let's do some real shit. Let's do some real violent, you know, we'll begin this whole bloodlust type of thing. And then, like I said, like the, you know, 70s came in and everything was just balls to the wall.
Right.
But it's cool. That's what's cool about the series that we're doing. That's why I wanted to do it. Like, I was like, there's so much stuff out there that doesn't get a whole lot of light, you know, and we have an opportunity to bring light to it. Right. You know, something that's been kind of, you know, collected cobwebs for years. So it's cool, man. If you're a horror fan, you gotta watch that old shit. You know, if you're a true horror fan, like, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, I like horror movies, and like, well, have you seen, like, you know, you should really learn where these ideas come from. Because I watched a lot of these old movies, and I see new remakes or new movies that are coming out that are those movies. You know what I mean? If you understand what I catch my drift. Like, it's just like there's so many movies out there. They're like, okay, it's definitely 100% got inspiration from this 1960s movie, you know?
Right.
So it's pretty cool. You got anything else you want to say about it?
No, I think we can wrap this one up and put it in the coffin.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. So this has been the Grindhouse Diner from Hell. I'm Reggie Mortis.
And I'm your Uncle Boris Lagosa.
We'll see you guys next time. See ya.
See ya.
I wonder who the real cannibals are.